encountered in Vrindavan was a very, very terrible, fierce, huge bull. It is said that he was so big that his horns were as tall as the trees, and his body, when he moved, the whole earth shook. And when Aristasura came charging toward Vrindavan to kill Krishna, as you see, the gopis, fearful for their lives, they began clinging to the tamal trees, because tamal trees are very blackish in color, and they were appreciating, Krishna will give us shelter, so they're calling out Krishna's name and embracing the tamal trees for Krishna's protection. So Krishna came, and he's all powerful, and using his opulence of strength, Krishna smashed the demon, Aristasura, broke off his horns, thrashed him with his horns, and Aristasura was finished. There are more pastimes that Krishna enacted specific to the digging of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, but I'm not going to describe that today. Just after the killing of the Aristasura demon took place, shortly thereafter, Narada Muni, visited the palace of Kamsa. Narada was in a mood of wishing to hasten Krishna's pastimes. Because what's the verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that he'll come in this world? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya shaduskritam dharma sanstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Narada knew that Krishna had appeared to deliver the earth from the overabundance, the burden of demoniac kings throughout the whole of earth, and Krishna was having too much fun in Vrindavan. So he wanted to bring Krishna to Mathura. So here's how he did it. He paid a visit to the palace of Kamsa. While Kamsa was a demon, meaning he was opposed to the supremacy of God, he observed certain customs and rituals because it would enhance his kriti, although he used it as duskriti. He used it in a bad way. So he received Narada very nicely. So nicely that Narada said, my dear king, you've received me so nicely, I want to tell you something. Do you remember, I'm sure you remember, that prophecy from the sky that said, the eighth son of Devaki will kill you. Remember that one? Well, the eighth son of Devaki is in Vrindavan. And his name is Nandanandana. He appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, but he was transferred. And now he's acting as if he's the son of Nanda Maharaj, the king of the cowherds. He's the one that's to kill you, Kamsa. Better watch your backside. See you later. That's all you need to do, is to tell a demon who the opposition is. Kamsa summoned Chanura and Mushtika and Kuvalyapida. Does this point, laser pointer? There's Kuvalyapida. And many other demons assembled with the purpose. This is Bakasura down here in the corner. This is Denukasura. And he sent two demons, two remaining demons, Keshi and Vyomasura. And he called for his best minister in the Yadu dynasty was Akrura. But we'll see a little bit. So he told Akrura, my dear uncle, I have a plan. I plan to kill Krishna. I'm sending two demons, and then I'm going to send you, just in case the demons don't kill him, to bring Krishna back. and invite him to a big bow festival. Kamsa was so bold, he told his plan to Akura, and Akura said, "I'm your minister. It's my duty to do your bidding, but it's also my duty to tell you. You're inviting your death. But I'll gladly bring Krishna. I've stayed with you all this time just so I could see Krishna. Now you're giving me the opportunity. Thank you very much. And I'll be glad to bring Krishna here to kill you." So Keshi was also a huge demon. And how is a horse, where's our children? How is a horse controlled? When they put a rein in the horse, they put a bit in the mouth of the horse, and because the control of the horse is through his tongue, Krishna knew what to do. He put his fist into the mouth of the Keshi demon, and it became red hot and became larger and larger. Krishna's Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. His limbs can do anything any other limb can do. So Krishna controlled Keshi through his mouth. He brought Keshi to the ground, and Keshi was finished. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is said that in his previous life, Keshi was a Gandharva. He was one of the brothers of Kalamba and Bakasura. And then there was Vyomasura. I don't have any pictures of Vyomasura because there's too much to tell. Vyomasura, in his previous life, Garga Samhita says, he was a great devotee king named Bhimarata from Varanasi. He left his kingdom, went to the Malaya hills to perform austerities, and one day when he was performing austerities in the Malaya hills, Palashtimuni came. And he didn't receive Palashtimuni in a proper way, as one should receive a great sage. So Palashtimuni cursed him that he would become a demon. But he pleaded with Palashtimuni, "Please give me your mercy. I acted wrongly. I should be punished. But please be kind." And so Palashtimuni blessed him that he would take birth as Vyomasura, and Krishna would deliver him. And Krishna delivered Vyomasura. So now, that plan of Kamsa failed. So he sent Akura. And for those of you that are familiar with who Akura is, he's referred to in the Vedas as uncle. But actually he's quite elder in the Yadu dynasty, quite elder to Krishna. He's quite elder to Krishna's father, Vasudeva. But he was a great devotee of Krishna. And like Rukmini, who never saw Krishna but just heard about Krishna and became filled with love for Krishna, so Akura also had unalloyed devotion for Krishna. And as he was riding his chariot going from Mathura to Vrindavan, all the way he was thinking in anticipation of meeting Krishna. Consider, you know that you're going to meet Krishna as soon as your car, your means of conveyance, gets from Mathura to Vrindavan. I took a tanga, like a one horse, one cart, from the Mathura train station to go to Vrindavan once. And it took about 2 hours and 15 minutes. But it took Akura all day long to get through Mathura to Vrindavan. Because he lost track of where he was. He was so absorbed in thinking of meeting Krishna. Totally absorbed. Thinking, when I see Krishna, he will look like this. Krishna will smile like that. He'll be wearing his peacock feather. And he'll be playing upon his flute. And he'll be associating with the coward boys and all the cows. And Krishna will smile. And I will speak like Krishna, Krishna like this. And Krishna will say to me like this. His mind was just filled with thoughts of meeting Krishna. He was in such intense thought of meeting Krishna when he saw in the soft sand of Vrindavan, the footprints of Krishna, he fell out of the chariot and started rolling in the ground in the dust of Vrindavan, taking the dust of Krishna's lotus feet and placing the dust of Krishna's lotus feet upon his head. And then he saw Krishna. By his side, of course, was Balaram. Because Akura was elder, Krishna treated Akura with respect. Because Akura was a devotee, he treated Krishna with absolute devotion. He threw himself at Krishna's feet. Krishna threw himself at Akura's feet. It was such a nice scene. And Akura offered beautiful prayers, and Krishna said, "How wonderful that you've come. Nanda Maharaj will be so glad to see you. Please come with me. Let's go to the palace of Nanda Maharaj. He'll be so happy to see you." So Krishna and Balaram took Akura to see Nanda Maharaj, and Akura gave his message. "Poor Vasudeva and Devaki, your very dear friend, they're in Kamsa's prison, and there's only one person who can relieve them from that difficult condition. Your wonderful son, Krishna and Balaram. Please allow me to take them to Mathura." Nanda Maharaj turned to his wife. She didn't want to see Krishna go. She didn't want to see Krishna go, but she wouldn't speak anything against what her husband said. "Whatever you say." He said, "You can go and then bring him back. It's a nice festival. Also, I have to go. It's time for me to pay my annual taxes. I'll arrange everything to be placed on a bullock cart, and I'll also go. You go and I'll go, and we'll meet you there to attend the Bow Festival." Very famous painting. I wish I could make it really big because it's so beautiful, but what I'm going to do is just zero in on different parts. All these personalities are members of, they're associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, and they're anticipating Krishna leaving. You see this little old lady down here holding, just propping herself up, holding on a cane, very, very elderly. She's Yashoda's grandmother. Mukhara is her name. And each of these personalities, B.G. Sharma paintings, very, very nice. There's Balaram. We'll see a close-up. There's Krishna, because he has his crown. And there's the gopis. Normally they were very shy. They didn't let others know how much affection they had for Krishna, but when he was leaving, they lost their shyness. And they came and embraced Krishna, begged Krishna, "Please don't leave us." Nanda and Yashoda and Rohini, the mother of Balaram, stood anxious, watching Krishna and Balaram preparing to get on the chariot. Some of the gopis, they held the reins of the horses. Some of them got in front of the horses. Some of them got in front of the wheels of the chariot. Some of them just fainted in anticipation of separation from Krishna. They couldn't bear the thought. One cowherd boy, Sridham, he embraced Krishna, Balaram. "Please don't go. You're our life and soul. How will we live without you?" After Narada paid a visit to Kamsa, he next went to Vrindavan. I forgot to tell you. When he went to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna enjoying his pastime so much in Vrindavan. He wanted to bring Krishna to Mathura. So what did he do? He didn't say, "Krishna, it's time for you to go to Mathura." He's his devotee. So he started speaking this way. "Oh, my dear Lord Krishna, I long to see that day when your purpose for descent in this world will be fulfilled. I long to see when you will destroy the wicked demon, Kamsa, And then you free Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison house of Kamsa. And then there's so many demons that are throughout the land, and Mother Earth came and pleaded with you to descend in this world. You'll protect the devotees and destroy the demons. I long to see that day. Krishna said, I'll go tomorrow. And Akura came that next day. So Akura is going to take Krishna from Vrindavan back to Mathura. Despite all the efforts of the gopis to prevent Akura from taking Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan, the gopis tried everything to stop Krishna from leaving. But it was his leela, the leela of Vipralamba Bhav, the mood of separation from Krishna, from the residents of Vrindavan. And so finally, with much difficulty, Krishna left. And the gopis began their intense mood of separation. They literally started going mad in thinking of Krishna, as you see from the painting, to feel the presence of Krishna, just like our children were doing in the drama. They would enact Krishna's pastimes. They would describe about Krishna to one another. They would describe their interactions with Krishna, Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill, and what it was like to be with Krishna for 7 days and seven nights, uninterrupted. And all the pastimes of Krishna were told again and again. Meanwhile, we're going to visit, I'm taking a group of devotees to Vrindavan. I'm looking forward very much to visiting Akura Ghat. Because here's Mathura, here's Vrindavan, and the river Jamuna is along the line of from Vrindavan to Mathura. So just about 1 kilometer outside of Mathura, Krishna asked Akura, please stop the chariot. I'd like to take my sacred bath in the river before we enter Mathura. So Akura obliged. He stopped the chariot. Krishna and Balaram went down the bank of the river, took their sacred bath, got back in the chariot, and Akura asked for permission. May I now also take my bath? Krishna said, sure, you can take your bath. So Akura went to the river to take his bath, and much to his surprise, he saw Krishna and Balaram in the river. He was very surprised. So he went back to the chariot, and he saw that they were in the chariot. And he was very surprised. So he went back to the river. Now he didn't see Krishna and Balaram in the river, but he saw Anantashesh and Lord Vishnu reclining on Anantashesh, because Anantashesh is an expansion of Balaram and Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. And it wasn't just Anantashesh and Lord Vishnu. The personified Vedas and all the Devas were surrounding him. The celestial beings were surrounding. You can't see so well. They're down here. Here's a better picture. The 4 Kumaras, Narada Muni, Lord Brahma, the great Rishis, all of these were part of the vision of Uncle Akura while Krishna and Balaram were seated on the chariot. So he had this realization. He saw the spiritual world being manifest before him in the river Jamuna. Akura achieved spiritual perfection through one of the 9 processes of bhakti, and that process is bandhana. He offered beautiful prayers, and please read your Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam to read these wonderful prayers of Akura. After Akura finished his bath and offering his prayers, he went back to the chariot and he saw Krishna and Balaram seated in the chariot and they were smiling. Krishna said, "Uncle Akura, did you see something wonderful in the river?" And Uncle Akura said, "Just seeing you is the perfection of my life. You are the source of everything that exists, and I'm seeing you standing before me now. That's my perfection. Let's go to Mathura." So they completed their journey to Mathura, and by the time they reached, it was in the late afternoon. Although Akura had a very speedy chariot, Nanda Maharaj reached there about the same time with his bullock cart because they had all these delays in the river. His prayers took a long time. And Krishna and Balaram, they're now 12 years old. They had never been to the big city. Those of you that may have grown up in a rural setting, consider. They had never been to the big city. So they wanted to see. All of this is like deity worship. Just as we performed Abhishek, the deity was bathed. So Krishna took his sacred bath. Now we're going to see the dressing and the ornaments and the scents and the fragrances and the garlands being decorating the body of Krishna as he enters Mathura. Consider, it's wonderful. When Krishna entered Mathura, the residents of Mathura, they had heard about Krishna because it's just some short distance away in Vrindavan, but they had never seen him. And the brahmanas came forward with all their paraphernalia for worship of their deity, and they, right on the street, they worshiped Krishna because they were so moved to see his beautiful features. And the ladies, they saw Krishna from the rooftops, and Krishna satisfied them just by glancing upon them. By his sidelong glances, they became very, very, very happy to see Krishna in his full beauty. But Krishna, and they came making their various offerings, just as the brahmanas had also made their offerings. The first encounter that Krishna had was with the washerman. As you can see, there's a line drawing. He's carrying a load of laundry on his head. It's the king's laundry, King Kamsa's laundry. So Krishna said, My dear king, my dear washerman, it would be very pious of you, my friends here, we should enter Mathura in a proper style. If you would be so kind, just offer some of the clothing that you have, and great fortune will come your way. Kindly consider. Spoken very sweetly. The washerman was very rude and very angry. "You village boys, you have no idea. This is the laundry of the king. If the king had any idea that you were asking for his clothing, you would lose your lives. So while the getting's good, be gone with you. And don't be so foolish as to make such a consideration." Krishna wasn't very happy to not receive the clothing, but he was especially not happy to have his friends called fools. That was a big mistake. So Krishna approached the washerman just with the tips of his fingers, touched the tips of his fingers to the side of the washerman's head, and he not only lost the clothes, he lost his head. And Krishna took the clothing, decorated the cowherd boys. "This is very good for Balaram, this fits you nicely." And he then also had his nice clothing, and they were ready for the next visit. Dressed very nicely, they then went to see a weaver. And a weaver is one who makes ornaments with cloth. The weaver was anticipating Krishna's coming, and he was... Oh, this is a description of who the washerman was in his previous life. And he was the washerman who criticized Ramchandra. You know? When his wife was not back one evening, he scolded her severely and said, "I'm not a henpecked person like Ram. I will not maintain you a sinner that returns at dawn from another's house. Ramachandra, who is greedy to enjoy with his wife, may continue to maintain his seat, but I am not like him." He spoke some very harsh words against Ram. His next life, he was also a washerman and became liberated by Krishna. The next encounter was with the weaver. This is the weaver over here. This is Krishna and Balaram along with the cowherd boys. Weaver's disposition was very different. He had heard Krishna was coming, and he made arrangements ahead of time to prepare very nice ornaments for Krishna. He was very happy to engage in some service to Krishna. And I'm just going to keep going. And then came the florist. The florist name was Sudama. Same name as the Brahmana Sudamana, but this is a different Sudama. He's a florist. Little story about Sudama. Because he was a florist, he would go to different places where he heard there were nice flowers. So he heard that there were nice flowers in Vrindavan. So from time to time he would go to Vrindavan and gather flowers. And one time when he went to Vrindavan to gather flowers, off in the distance he saw Krishna. And he was so stunned with the beauty of Krishna, the whole scene of Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys. He just stood there like a statue, staring, feasting his eyes upon the beautiful form of Krishna. And so, in course of time, he would regularly go and see Krishna. And he became filled with devotion for Krishna. So when Krishna was coming, he was thrilled. There's a detailed description when Krishna went right to his house, because Krishna is omniscient. And Sudama had gathered some flowers and two partially completed garlands hanging on the wall. Krishna just glanced at them. He didn't say anything. But cultured people don't necessarily need to have somebody say something. Just eye movement can tell them. He knew that Krishna wanted the garland, and he wanted to give the garland to Krishna. So he quickly completed the garland and offered the garland to Krishna. And Krishna said two things. Krishna said, "In this life, you will be blessed with great wealth, great health, and a long life, happy long life. And I'd like to give you some benediction. Whatever it is that you like, imagine." He asked for three things. Life after life, may I simply be engaged in pure devotion to you. He also requested, may I always have the association of your devotees. And the third thing he asked for is, may I always have a friendly disposition towards all living entities. Please bless me in that way. Krishna smiled. So be it. The next encounter after the florist was Kubja. Kubja had another service to Kamsa. She took care of the fragrant oils and sandalwood paste and other fragrances, royal fragrances for the king. As soon as Kubja saw Krishna, she immediately, shamelessly, shyly, losing all of her shyness, she just approached Krishna and said, these are for you. And put sandalwood paste on Krishna and Balaram and gave them scented oils. And Krishna was, she was spontaneously moved with devotion, seeing the beauty of Krishna. She had another name beside Kubja. Her name was Trivikra. Means she was bent in three places. you know, Ashtavakra, he was bent in eight places. He was Trivikra. So Krishna put his foot on the tip of her toe and with one finger put it under her chin, whoop, and she straightened up. Just like that. And became very beautiful. And with her eyes, she was looking upon Krishna in a very special way. Krishna said, "Let me perform my duties here. I will fulfill your desire later." It is said in Garga Samhita, Kubja in her previous life was Shuparnaka. And although she desired to enjoy with Ram, her demoniac mentality was too much. But here as the servant of Kamsa, she had the opportunity to serve Krishna in a very personal way. Now, this is going to be a little bit longer than the time was allotted. I hope it's okay, because the pictures are very nice. And it's all about Krishna anyway. So, Krishna, this is still in the evening. Krishna's in Mathura. He went right to the place where the bow was kept. He picked up the bow and not only strung the bow, but he broke the bow. And as he was going, because the festival was the next day, and Krishna just took the bow and broke the bow. It's a bow of Lord Vishnu. There's a whole story behind the bow. I'll tell you the story when we get there. After Krishna broke the bow, all the soldiers came and tried to stop this little boy. He broke the bow. And he gave half the bow to Balaram and he kept the other half and smashed the soldiers of Kamsa. Finished them. The bow festival was over because the bow was broken. I'll skip with the history of the bow. And that night they camped outside the wall of Mathura with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men and the other cowherd boys waiting for the next day's activity. Kamsa heard all these things, the breaking of the bow and all these events, the killing of the washerman. That night, Kamsa couldn't sleep. He was having very, very bad dreams. He was dreaming of seeing himself walking with a shadow that had holes in it. Then another dream, he was riding in a chariot in the sky, driven by donkeys. And then he had another part of his dream, he was looking at himself in the mirror, and there was no head. Pretty scary dream. He didn't have a good night's rest at all. He understood, just as Narada had said, each child of Devaki has come. Just as Akura said, by bringing Krishna to Mathura, I'm inviting my own death. He knew. So the next day, Krishna and Balaram tried entering into the gates of Mathura, but there was this huge elephant that they had made intoxicated just especially to kill Krishna. And the two elephant trainers were goading the elephant to charge Krishna. But Krishna very expertly stepped to the side, went underneath the elephant and grabbed his tail. And then he rushed around front and grabbed his trunk, pulled on his trunk so hard that the elephant fell to the ground. And then he started swinging the elephant around and around and around and smashed him on the ground with his own trunk. And then he broke off the tusks of the elephant. And Balaram broke off the other tusk. And they started beating him with his own tusks. Kuvalyapida was finished. And then Krishna and Balaram, carrying the tusks on their shoulder, walked toward the wrestling arena of Kamsa. And there's a very beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm just going to read the translation. Shows it here. as he was entering into the wrestling arena, different groups of people regarded Krishna in different ways. Wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt. The men of Mathura as the best of males. The women as Cupid in person. The cowherd men as their relative. The impious rulers as a chastiser. His parents as their child. The king of the Bhojas as death. The unintelligent as the Supreme Lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their supreme worshipable deity. One person, seen by different individuals according to their own regard, their own disposition. Same person, the object of everyone, seen in different ways by different individuals. Krishna strode into the wrestling arena, smiling with Balaram. Chandra and Mustaka approached them, challenged them. Krishna and Balaram said, "We're just 12 years old, and you're a grown man. The match does not seem to be fair, but if you wish to fight us, we will." And the wrestling began. As strong as these wrestlers were, Krishna and Balaram, just young of age, an intense wrestling match ensued. There's a picture that gets closer, a close-up of Krishna and Chanura. These are his brothers, because after Chandra and Mustaka were destroyed, there were fights with the brothers. Very beautiful artwork. After an intense, fun struggle for Krishna, he picked up Chandra and Balaram picked up Mustaka and smashed them to the ground, beat them with their fists, and Chandra and Mustaka were finished. The other brothers came rushing in defense of Chandra and Mustaka. They were also destroyed. And then Krishna jumped up on the throne where Kamsa was sitting with the tusk of Kulayapita in one hand and the hair of Kamsa in his other hand, dragged him off the throne, as you see, and smashed him with his powerful fist. And just so that the people of Mathura would know he wasn't just knocked out, he was finished. Krishna dragged him by his hair across the wrestling arena. So everyone cheered. "Wicked Kamsa is dead." And after finishing Kamsa, of course, Kamsa was liberated. When contact with the personality of Godhead like this takes place, it means the soul becomes then relieved of all their sinful reactions, becomes freed from sin, and he was liberated. Wicked Kamsa was liberated by the kindness of Krishna. And then he went to the prison house of Kamsa, and he relieved Kamsa of Vasudeva and Devaki of their shackles. And after doing that, they stood before Vasudeva and Devaki wishing for parental affection. Listen carefully. Vasudeva and Devaki, as you remember, when Krishna appeared, they saw a four-armed form with all the symbols of Vishnu and helmet and golden ornaments and long garland, and he told them, "I'm the personality of Godhead." So when they saw him, they stood in awe, appreciating he's God. But Krishna wanted the affection of his mother and father in a different way. So he covered them with his yogamaya potency so they wouldn't see his divinity. Nanda Maharaj embraced Balaram. Mother Jasoda, Devaki, sat Krishna on her lap and smothered him with her tears, crying, "How wonderful to be reunited with you again." towards the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the very last chapters of the 10th canto, we find after Ugrasena was crowned the king, Mother Devaki heard of the wonderful activities of Krishna bringing back from the dead the son of his teacher. Who was the teacher? Krishna's school teacher? Sandipani Muni. The dakshin for Sandipani Muni was he wanted his dead son to be brought back. So Krishna went to the abode of Yamaraj and brought him back. When Devaki heard this, she said, "Can you do that for me too? My first six sons, they were all killed by Kamsa. I never had the chance to even hold them in my arm. Kamsa killed them. Can you bring them?" So Krishna fulfilled the desire of Devaki, and the little boys were brought back to associate with Devaki and Vasudeva. This is Krishna's return to Mathura. Actually, the original personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he resides eternally in Vrindavan. And these other forms of Krishna, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they are expansions of him. Just like from a lamp, you can light another candle. And from that candle, you can light another candle, and you can light another candle, and fill the room with candles, and they all give up equal light, illumination. But amongst all those candles, one is the original candle. It's a procedure that's followed in deity worship when they, and Diwali, the lamp is taken from the altar, and other lamps are from, but the one that's on the altar stays lit. It's the original. It's a ritual. Similar to Krishna, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is the original personality of Godhead, from whom so many expansions come. And these wonderful pastimes that Krishna displayed in Mathura and then later in Dwarka, they're expansions of him. So we're honoring Krishna on his Janmashtami, some days after, but we're honoring him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. We're honoring Krishna in that way. Well, thank you for your patience. I wanted to share this with you. Hare Krishna.